If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS connects you with podcasts, videos, and live experiences about the artists and topics you love. Visit OSIRISPod.com to check out our shows. In fact, you should check out No Simple Road or Inside Out with Turner and Seth. Both are great shows. OSIRIS works in partnership with Jambase, which connects music fans with the music they love and empowers them to go see live music. For more, check them out at jambase.com. The show starts now.
Second string band. Brother Stickley's on the guitar and he'll play your favorite song. When the free beer starts a pouring, he'll be picking all night long. Bobby's sewing on that fiddle, though he can barely stand. And I'm a five-string picker in a second-string band. Favorite, cause we live on the free food. Then Carolina bluegrass is the best in the land. I'm a five-string picker in a second-string band. Good times never end. Ain't got no boss, man, no time to clock in. I'm a five-string picker in a second-string band. I'm a five-string picker in a second-string band.
You've been listening to Five String Picker from Andy Thorne's forthcoming solo record, Frontiers Like These. In case you aren't familiar with Andy's name or work, he is the banjo player for Leftover Salmon after joining the Emmett Nershey Band in Colorado back in 2008, and now joining Drew Emmett in Leftover Salmon. This transplanted North Carolinian is a massive talent who plays banjo like few others, and his finger picking is superb. We caught up with Andy on break from the heavy touring that he does back home in Colorado, high atop the sea. Like 7,300 feet, in fact. Our conversation started when I asked Andy if he's always thought about making a solo record.
Yeah, I mean, it's always on the back burner. And Salmon has just kept me so busy the last few years, which has been great. I haven't had a chance to make one. But this solo record just happened really naturally because I always go back to North Carolina for the holidays. And some of my best friends are from there, too. We all grew up playing together out there. And so I just got all those guys together over Christmas break and made a little record.
In fact, you went to Chapel Hill's Rubber Room to record the record. I'm curious about the circumstances? Did you know ahead of time that you were doing this, or did you just say, well, we'll all be in North Carolina, and so it's a good time to get everybody together?
No, I did know about it ahead of time, so I got to send some songs to the guys. We didn't have a chance to rehearse together since everybody lives around the country now.
Right.
But we got together the day, you know, they learned the material, which was amazing that they took the time to do that. Mm-hmm. And then we just got together the day before and practiced for a few hours at Stickley's grandma's house. And then we went in there and recorded.
So who else is on the record besides you? And if you can tell me what instruments they play, that'd be huge too, so the audience can have a taste. Obviously, John Stickley's on the album, but who else is on the album?
Yeah, John Stickley's on guitar, and we went to high school together, so we've been playing for a very long time. And then another guy we met a little bit later in Chapel Hill was Andrew Marlin, who started Mandolin Orange a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And he moved to Chapel Hill when he was 18. He was a little younger than us. So it's been really fun to see their rise. And he plays mandolin and sings harmony with his wife, Emily, who's also in Mandolin Orange.
Right.
And we have one of our best buddies, Bobby Britt, on fiddle, who's an incredible fiddle player with Town Mountain.
Yeah.
And then Miles Andrews on bass from the Big Fat Gap, the band we were all in college.
It's absolutely amazing. And I think the song, for me at least, that showcases everybody's talents is Above It All. I mean, it just seems like everybody's performance in that song, whether it's the fiddle or John on guitar or obviously Andy Thorne, the banjo player. That's the one track where I think more than any, you know, individuals get to shine. Although there are some, you know, instrumental jams too that I think are pretty cool. But Above It All, it just seems like everybody's spot on. Was this stuff recorded like off the floor, or did you do multiple takes? I'm curious because the energy is just perfect for this kind of music.
Yeah, we didn't do a lot of takes. We recorded all of the music in like 2.5 days, I think, which is pretty quick these days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back and did the vocals later. We played with live vocals, but it's nice to go back and polish those up, which we didn't have time to do. But yeah, I think the energy was really fresh, and it kept the energy high. And everybody's been to this house where I live and wrote a lot of the songs, and the song Above It All is just up here where we are. Like, I'm looking down at Denver right now, and it's just in smog. You can see the smog line. So some of those lyrics come out. It's just about life up here on the hill, looking down at everything else.
Is it true you're 7,300 feet above sea level?
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, we're 2,000 feet above Boulder.
Holy.
So it's a steep drive up here from town. But we love it. It's just a way to escape the city, and it's a nice place to be when you're off tour.
Don't fall down that hill, all right?
No. Barely walking right now, so.
I guess being in the environment and being in Colorado, the environment is a big deal. And I know that there are, I think, at least two songs, Warning Call and Standing Still, on this record where, you know, you make it your mission in lyric to specifically mention the environment and to mention the pressure it's under. How important is that for you as a singer-songwriter to get some socio-political views out there?
Yes, I mean, it's really important. I didn't really set out to write songs about that. That's just what you notice when you're up here. You know, you notice like all the trending towards wildfires and the dryness that started to affect us more in the foothills here. So we have to worry about that every summer. We've already had a big wildfire just over the hill. So these things are just around you all the time. And fracking in Colorado is such a big thing.
Right.
And it's fairly accepted here, which is kind of crazy. But in Boulder, they're doing a lot to do less fracking. So can hope that actually helps a little bit. But yeah, it's just all around you, so it's hard not to write about it.
There are some standout instrumentals, and the two that, you know, for me were huge were Star of St. Elmo and Tornado. I'm curious, you did mention that you sent everybody who worked on the record probably sheet music ahead of time. I'm curious about how much of it was improvised and how much of it was, you know, sticking to kind of what you sent them.
Oh, well, yeah, I sent them like the melody ideas so they could learn what the little melody lines are. And then we just arranged them the day before going in there, and everything else is in between is improvised. So there's a little bit of worked out stuff and a little bit of improv going on. I think it's the right amount of both. Nice to have some things worked out, but not too much.
Because you had a vision for the record or for these individual songs, was it hard for you to communicate in the room what you wanted to do? Because so many of these people, like you said, are your friends, and you don't want to, you know, upset anybody. But obviously you had sonically some ideas in your head of how things should sound. Was that a difficult task, getting everybody on page for these songs?
Not really, because they're the guys that I already know what they're going to play like, which is why I got this recording together with them, because we grew up playing together. So you sort of learn together and your styles meld together automatically because of that. So, you know, you don't have to ask guys to play differently very often, because, you know, they're there because you know what they're going to do, and it's just going to be right.
Right, and they're so talented.
So that
too.
Makes it so easy. They're so talented, and we've been playing together since we were 16, some of them. So it's just, it comes naturally.
How did they feel about Five String Picker? Because this was your band, and how does the lyric go? I'm just a five string picker in a second.
In a second string band.
Yeah.
Well, they know that's all about our old band, the Big Fat Gap, which the bass player Miles has been the leader of for like 20 years now.
Uh-huh.
They know, I mean, that band never went on tour, never wanted to. We played frat parties and weddings and pig pickings around North Carolina all during college. And the lyrics are pretty true. Like back then, Bobby could barely stand at half the gigs. But now Bobby's sober, and he's just killing it in the fiddle world. And it's just a funny song. Nobody cared. It's just a funny song about our old band, and everyone accepts that that's what the Big Fat Gap was. But it's some of the best music you'll ever hear in a pig picking. I guarantee you that.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, all of the picking, and not just yours, but Stokely's and everybody's is just so on spot. Is this stuff that you, speaking just as you from your experience, and I know that you play a ton, obviously, with Leftover and around town or around the country and in other configurations, is picking something that you have to spend a lot of time with? Or is it something at this point that is, you know, the banjo is just a third appendage or a second appendage, and it just comes very naturally to you at this point?
I think you still have to spend a lot of time on the banjo. It's all the picking and the fingers, like you can lose it very fast. You'd be surprised. But after a tour, I like to put it down for a few days and do stuff in the backyard, do other things, and then come back to it. Like, oh, we're going back out in a couple days. I better get the fingers loose again, you know? Or if you have like some kind of idea in your head and you're inspired, you might grab it and try to work it out. But I don't think I sit around and play as much as some people.
Right. When you write music, are you writing on the banjo or are you writing on an acoustic guitar? What's the preference?
I like to sit around and write on my guitar a lot. I have a 1960 Martin D18, and I just love that thing. Songs like fall out of it. So it's really cool to sit on the porch and look down at everything down below and just let what comes out come out, you know?
There's another hilarious song on this record, and I think it's a good call for the rest of the country. But Blazing New Frontiers, obviously you're not a You live in Colorado now, but you're from North Carolina. And Blazing New Frontiers is such a good song because it's the American dream within the context of legalizing weed and the impact, I guess, legalization has had in that state. Can you talk a bit about, from your perspective, how important the legalization has been in Colorado and the impact on its citizens?
It's been huge. I mean, it's raised so much money for education and infrastructure and stuff like that. And I've never personally worked in the marijuana industry, so I probably wouldn't have written that song if my wife hadn't worked in it. My wife was the first licensed marijuana broker in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
So that's where the song came from. It was a poem that she wrote, and I happened to see it one day, and I was like, wow, this is really funny and very true. So I turned it into a little song about her instead. And so she's been in the industry for 10 years and knows all the original people that were working in the industry. And that's why I have a tie to it. I now grow marijuana in the yard because it's completely legal. And it's just fun. You can't even smoke as much as you can grow because it's easy to grow. It's just a weed that does grow in the yard.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think everybody up here really loves it. I haven't seen many negative side effects, that's for sure.
Well, it sounds like it is going to be legalized or at least decriminalized in more and more states. And certainly if the tax revenue is any indication and just the general attitude towards marijuana is the same as it is in Colorado, things should be pretty cool, right?
I think so. I think it's going to come around. And everybody that hasn't seen what the day-to-day work is like in a marijuana grow can check out the video we made for this song, because we filmed it in our friend's grow on one of their harvest days. So there's so much stuff going on, and that's what they do. It's like an educational marijuana video.
It's
on YouTube if anybody wants to check it out.
We'll provide a link in the show notes too at thesoundpodcast.com. So if people want to check it out, we'll have it there for them as well. It's pretty interesting too, like when you think back to, 10 or 20 years ago when you went to go buy pot, it was such a different experience from the way it is now. Now it's like, well, at least here in Toronto where it's legal, it's like going to I don't know, any other store. I don't know how things are set up in Colorado, but it just seems so different than, going to a back alley and talking to a guy and not sure if you're getting the right count or not sure if you're getting what he says he's giving you how it was made or whatever else. But now it's just it feels very antiseptic to a certain degree, but it's kind of cool that that we can do it, right?
It's so regulated. It's crazy. Like, it's probably more regulated than the alcohol industry and a lot of other industries that they just freely sell these things. But that's a lot of that is touched on in the song too. But yeah, going in a dispensary, there's all age groups. Mm-hmm. There'll be older folks and younger folks. Anyone that's 18 or 21. I can't remember what the legal age is, but it's all sorts of people. It's not like all hippies or anything like that.
Right, right.
Everybody can go in there freely and not be judged, and they can just get whatever they get to help their whatever they use it for, you know?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff like no THC products and all. It's not necessarily getting high.
Right.
A lot of it is just therapeutic.
And I guess that's the education.
Been using lots of CBD. Yeah, that's the, and some of, you can see some of that in the video and in the song. But I've been using tons of CBD on my broken leg, and it really helps. And some people, I think that's legal nationally now, which is great, but probably wasn't a year ago,
How is the leg since the ski accident? Are you feeling better? I mean, you're up and about.
I'm feeling so much better. It's just, it's been a long year on tour with the band.
Yeah.
Without being on crutches on a tour bus and all that. But everybody's helped me out so much. You know, we've had Drew like pushing me around the airport in a wheelchair,
which is funny.
Some guys, you know, it's super funny. So we've tried to have fun with it. It hasn't all been fun, but now I'm going to be very grateful just to go on my first hike, which might be this week.
Oh,
really
great.
Excited.
Well, try and take it easy. Because I'm sure there are lots of leftover plans for the rest of the summer. Are you planning to tour frontiers like these? What's the plan in, as far as getting this music to your audience, which I'm sure would love to hear these songs if they can't on the record, but I'm sure they would love to hear more of this stuff live.
Yeah, it's so hard to align these guys' schedules. I got to do one gig with John Stickley at the Bender Jamboree. Right. In Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, we got to play a lot of songs off the album, which was fun. But I mean, when you're trying to align Leftover Salmon, Mandolin Orange, Town Mountain, and the John Stickley Trio schedules, I sort of gave up on it a while ago. So I don't have a big CD release party planned, but this fall I may try to get some shows together. So that would be exciting. I hope we can make something like that happen.
With so many bluegrass festivals that you guys will be attending, as in Leftover, I'm sure there will be opportunities like Bender where you guys will all be at these festivals where you'll have an opportunity to play. Are any of these songs you think going to make it into a Leftover set? Is that something that you've talked about with Drew at all?
Yeah, we did. We got to do Blazing New Frontiers for the first time with Leftover. And that was really fun. I mean, Leftover's always been known as a pot band.
Right.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
They, you know, Rise Up, Wake and Bake was their big anthem for years. So, and Vince did so much for the legalization movement here in Colorado. Like, he was one of the first people fighting for decriminalization in Netherlands, like 10 or 15 years ago. So he's really into protesting that in any way we can. So we got that one in there. And hopefully some others will get in the rotation.
Yeah, well, Five String Picker would be good. I mean, you might get some odd looks from everybody.
That would be good.
But it's but it's a fun song, and I think it needs to be played live for sure. Thanks so much for taking the time, Andy. I really appreciate it. Really love the record. And we can't wait to hear more.
Hope to make it to Toronto sometime.
Yeah, well, that would be great. We'd love to.
I don't know if I've ever been there.
Well, it's a lot like Colorado, actually. I mean, it's cool in the winter, but the summers are beautiful. So you'll feel right at home.
Nice.
Thanks so much for taking the time, dude. Really appreciate it. Great record, and we'll chat soon, all right? Be well.
Have a great one. Appreciate it.
Really great stuff here from Andy. It's pretty cool that he can go back home and produce a record with friends who have also become accomplished musicians. Like you, we will keep an eye out for Andy Thorne's work, not only with Leftover Salmon, but should anything else come up. Frontiers like these won't be out for a few more weeks, but you should definitely bookmark andythornemusic.com or pre-order the album there as well. If you're looking for that cool video for Blazing New Frontiers, check our website for a direct link, or just search for Blazing New Frontiers on YouTube. Before we leave you, have a listen to our favorite song from the new record, featuring tremendous performances from all involved. Here is Above It All.
To the south and see all the colors, hear the birds sing out, and down on the plains there's a sea of smog, but I think I'll just stay right here, way up above it all. Yeah. of life in a snow globe. It drifts and it blows in and out of my daydreams with my eyes wide closed. And the thunder and lightning, they crash to the east. No, I ain't going down the hill. Up here I'm completely at peace. Above it all, where we can run free. Above it all, we're living our dreams. Just keep me above it all. I'll stay right here above it all.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening.
Osiris.